All right, we're on 2 Timothy chapter 2 for a change. In verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master, and prepared unto every good work. Now, the purging there is the word that means separate from. And it's separating from Hymenaeus and Philetus in verse 17 and those that teach that. Now, and we went through the whole thing about all of the different various and ways of excommunication. And but there's an area that we need to study. Let's go to Galatians 3. Remember we studied the flying scroll yesterday, and it's going through the scroll is the law, and it's just in the vision that Zechariah saw, the scroll was flying through the air. All right, so in Galatians 3, General Electric Power Company. We might spend a day on this. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now again, the works of the law. The word law is nomos. It's much more than 613 laws of Moses. It's the way a thing works. That's what nomos means. If we could understand the law, then we'd know that the law was spiritual. It says so. But it also applies to everything, that every way of doing things that we have learned. Those are all the traditions of men. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Now, the truth is faith alone. For every breath, everything, it's only faith that is our basis of life. And it's, in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The definition of righteousness is believing God, not just believing it by a mental assent, but believing it so that you live solely and only by that moment of faith. It never changes. Everybody see that? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now you can say, we fill out applications. And what does it say? What is your faith? Faith has become a noun. It's not a noun. Faith is a moment by moment, solely, only dependence on God. Well, I'm depending on God, but I'm leaning on my own arm of understanding, and this is cause and effect. I have to do this to get that. So, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now that's a quote from Habakkuk. It says, and it's amplified in Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. And his faith, the just shall live by faith, the only way you can live by faith, by his faith, is the total 100% abandonment every second of your life to the Father. Trusting that every necessary thing in that emptying of you and that disowning of you, then every necessary thing will be provided by the Father. That's what life is about. But if you still are under the law, i.e. you're still operating by cause and effect, you're still doing the habitual things that you learned to do your whole life, and I would just say to you, how's that worked out for you? It doesn't work. Once you have said, Father, I have dedicated this, your temple, to you alone, then returning to your own arm of understanding is tantamount to fornication, adultery. I hope I'm communicating. Anybody not understand this? You're always tempted, every second of the day, you're always tempted to leave faith and return to the familiar. You've got to reject it. You've got to disown it. Because when you live by the familiar, you're saying, just as Hymenaeus and Philetus did, you're saying the resurrection is past already. You're waiting for something else to take place. God, I hope you understand. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Everything is digital. It's either all faith or no faith. No faith means that your existence is by the law. Now, it's not just the law, the majesty of the law of Moses, it's the stupid laws of Babylon. Is everybody here, or at least a little bit here, or what's going on?
We're finally here.
Huh? You're finally here? Talk to me. Do you understand how important this is? Wade?
The law is not of faith. That's one you can think about.
That'll do you a bunch of good.
Well, all right. I won't think about it, but I'll just point out that it's an interesting phrase.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Now, you've got to see. Okay, let's go to the law. Deuteronomy 21. Let's go verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out into the elders of the city unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice, for he is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. And thy land be not defiled, which the Lord God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, either this is a revelation of a mystery, or none of us would be alive today, because every one of us have been a rebellious, well, I don't know about you, maybe you weren't a rebellious child.
Drunkard.
Maybe you weren't drunkard, maybe you weren't stubborn, but I was all those things. And I deserved to have been taken out of the gate before the elders and stoned to death. Now, that aspect of me is still in me. What I want to do, I can't. What I don't want to do, I do. I find that a law, when I want to do good, the evil one is present with me. So if you decide you want to do good, all you've done is elevated the evil one. Now, why did it say this? Cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. And why here is the penalty for that death? Anybody want to talk about it, John?
Why did it say that?
Because yeah,
Christ was hanged on a tree, and that's the,
amen,
the example. It's the foreshadowing of that.
But the way that modern Christian has heard this, that cursed, Christ was hanged on a tree, therefore I can do whatever I want to do. Christ has hanged on a tree, and he was cursed for my sake. Praise God, now God loves everybody. Let's look at another one. Let's look at, anybody remember the sin of Achan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saddlebags.
Hmm?
Saddlebags?
He hid his stuff under the tent.
Let's go to Joshua something or other. 8, I think.
I thought there was a horse in the
story. What?
I thought there was a horse in the story.
No horse. You're getting your metaphors mixed. You got dangling participles or something.
Where are we going?
Joshua 8. But I think we have to go to Joshua 7 first. I'm in Judges. I don't want to be in Judges. Okay, this applies to each of us. Israel had finally left the wilderness. They'd crossed the Jordan dry. They moved to Jericho. And Jericho was what? The place of fragrance, or the place of thought. Jericho was a metaphor for our mind. Remember, they had the city was fortified with these great walls, and then the outside of the walls, they had embedded skulls in the wall. The wall was how many? It was like 10 cubits thick. It was a huge, it was considered to be, you couldn't, It was nobody could destroy Jericho. And Jericho is a metaphor for your mind. Nobody can, all the world is wandering after the beast. Now, they destroyed Jericho by being obedient, by the seven times around it, seeing its, and everything fell, and everybody in Jericho was destroyed. So then they are going on to the next city, the second city that they had to overtake in the Promised Land. And remember, the Promised Land is inhabited by Canaanites. And there were seven different tribes that sat in the Promised Land. And those tribes had to be utterly defeated. But what happened? In chapter 7 Joshua, there God tells them to go next to this next city, which is Ai. And Ai is between, it's right after Jericho, then the next city is Ai, then Bethel. And so they're supposed to go in and destroy all the inhabitants, remember? Now, either that's a parable, or it justifies the Iraqi war and war on everybody. Right? But what happened? They went up and they said, oh, it's a little city, so we'll just take 3,000 men. And they went up to the city, and this little teeny city destroyed, they set all of Israel in a running away. They killed 36 men. And God said, you've got evil within you. Let's see where he says that. In verse 10 of Joshua 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore hast thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before the enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Now what was happening? They had one guy of the tribe of Judah. His name was Achan. They were commanded not to take anything of Jericho. But Achan saw some goodies. Let's see what he said. And verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God, the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now, what does that mean? Instead of abandonment, this is what the message is to us, and every member, every man and woman that names the name of Christ. Instead of having faith, you have taken some of the goodly things that you thought were the best and hid them in the earth, in the tabernacle. And the Babylonian garment is still living by cause and effect. The gold is still having these great ideas of what you're going to do and what you're going to be. And the silver is all the little tricks that you do to have redemption within yourself. And nothing could happen. That one man took that part from Jericho that he saved. And that one man is you and I. Have you saved any of the silver and gold and any of the cause and effect than hidden in your tent. That's what this book is about. It's a parable of what obedience is and isn't. And I encourage you to carefully read Joshua 7 and 8, because it goes through this whole process of seeing what happens, what the sin of rebellion is. This is why we must bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. We must cast down the imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the glory of God, and then bring every single thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That sounds impossible. When I first heard it, knew and understood this, I wager I repented 100,000 times a day. It seems like all I did was repent individually for some little thing, because my mind was still trying to gain control. Now, what happened to the king of Ai when they finally defeated it is interesting. Go to Joshua 8. I think. Wait a minute, I've got it here. Joshua 8:29.
This is after Achan's been dealt with.
After Achan's been dealt with. And Achan was dealt with. They took everybody that was his mother, his father, his sisters, his brothers, his sons, his children, and all of the goodies that he had kept, and they killed him. And then burned him.
Ananias and Sapphira sort of...
That's the same thing.
It's the same kind of a deal. I want to keep something... You know, it wasn't the money, it was the idea. You know, I want to keep this to myself and
amen.
Get it hidden and get something out of it. And it's, so that sort of expands the whole idea to anything about yourself.
Amen. Now let's go to the 29. In verse 29. And the king of Ai be hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Now what happened? That was what we read in Deuteronomy about you take the body down after it's hanged on a tree before sunset. What happened to the king of Ai? Ai just means heap or pile or ruin. It's funny how they name the cities. Anyway, it wasn't called Ai by the Canaanites. It was called Ai by the Bible. It means a heap or a pile for ruin, destined to ruin. But here, the king of Ai had to see that he too was hanged on the tree. We have to see it. Who is the king of Ai within you? You. And therefore, you see that you were crucified with Christ, and this evil one that's within you has been making you up, inventing you day by day. And his only purpose was to keep you alone. Keep you from the mystery of the kingdom of God. That is this mind's purpose. And you can't do this by, well, I'm just thinking good stuff. You have to see that your mind cannot apprehend the mystery of God. It can only bring you to the point where you see the futility and emptiness, and then abandon yourself, disown yourself. Does this sound impossible? It's not, it's easy. Once you see, again, the thing I say always, does it take you any effort to walk away from a pile of dung after you've had a bowel movement? Well, until you see that all the things you value are dung, you're not going to walk away from it. Let's go to Philippians 3. My pages of my Bible are sticking together.
It's the heat.
Okay. No, I can say, I need a new Bible, and then Joyce and I will say, you have a new Bible. But if I use that Bible, then all the pages are going to stick together it, and then I won't have anything. Never mind.
It's slippery, too. I have an extra Bible.
Verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Chapter 3, verse 7. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do account them but dung. And it doesn't say dung in Hebrew, it says shit. That I may win Christ. It takes no effort to walk away from you once you've seen you correctly. It's as natural as breathing to walk away from you when you've seen you are the dung. Anybody understand that? This Paul suffered the loss of all things. The loss of the physical, I mean the goodies, the houses or cars or whatever, that's child's play. It's the loss of all these things that you think make you, you. I used to pick on Pete because Pete was real shy. And shyness is, well, that's just the way I am. No, shyness is pride because you're concerned with what somebody's going to think of you. You suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung. All the value systems, all the ideas of right and wrong, all the places where you've taken a stand in your mind and you think it's right, they are all dung. Every opinion. Until you can see it correctly, then your ears are holding and your eyes are shut because you're still thinking that you've got a future. Remember, Christ didn't come into the world to make your life anything. He came into the world to give dead people life. That's why he said, here, the whole thing starts with the heresy of Hymenaeus and Philetus. Because the heresy said, the resurrection is past, therefore I have to lean on my own arm of understanding and do this goody stuff as best as I can, because then someday I'll be ready for Christ's return. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And so you get bogged down in your own life. You get so consumed with yourself that once that happens, there's only one thing that happens is depression. Because you start to see yourself and your state correctly, and you say, oh shit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh no, but I've got a future. I've got a future. Ah. What? Any response to any of this from anybody?
We're sent into this foreign land to wipe out the future, you know. It's like if anybody has any thoughts of the future, we disregard it. But we see one little one. Oh. Maybe that one's worth checking out.
Or else we think we're going to use our talents for the Lord. I want to play music for Jesus.
Check it out for a couple of minutes and then let it go.
But you have to check it out. If you don't check it out, Jeff, then you will never know. And so you'll always have these little things that come back up. Well, I just do it every once in a while. Anybody know what I'm talking about, Jeff?
What? I have sweet thoughts, Wade has sweet music.
And Gary's on vacation.
Gary's on vacation.
Gary's always on vacation.
Yeah, I'm permanently in California.
All righty.
I don't know, is it warmer there?
Purge yourself from these things. Take a big guy. I remember to push the